DiscerningHearts.com presents Building a Kingdom of Love, Reflections with Monsignor John Essef. Monsignor Essef is a priest of the Diocese of Scranton, Pennsylvania. He has served as a retreat director and confessor to St. Teresa of Calcutta. He continues to offer direction and retreats for the Sisters of the Missionaries of Charity. Monsignor Essef encountered St. Padre Pio, who would become a spiritual father to him. He has lived in areas around the world, serving in the Pontifical Missions, a Catholic organization established by Pope St. John Paul II to bring the good news to the world, especially to the poor. He continues to serve as a retreat leader and director to bishops, priests, and sisters, seminarians, and other religious leaders. Building a Kingdom of Love, Reflections with Monsignor John Essef. I'm your host, Chris McGregor. What's on your heart today, Monsignor?
Well, today, you know, as a Catholic priest, and I'm going to be offering Mass on this 26th Sunday of Ordinary Time, and these readings today, our Lord pointing out to us, you know, we're going to gather the people of God and have them instructed. And I think many times, you know, when we gather, I think our Holy Father said we get concentrating on one area rather than really open our arms to see what God is saying to all of us. And we get maybe concentrated on lust, or maybe concentrated on sloth, or maybe concentrated on gluttony, drugs or sex. Or no, today he's really looking and piercing into our heart with regard to greed and avarice. It's a human tendency to put God after money. He's got such a powerful way of teaching. The first one who is going to concentrate on what it is that we're about in this life is St. Paul. That the magnificent teaching, how the church just zeroes in and wants to center us on what the point is of God speaking to us today. Beloved, first of all, I ask that supplication, prayers, petitions, and thanksgiving be offered for everyone, for kings, and for all authorities, that we may lead a quiet and tranquil life in all devotion and dignity. This is good and pleasing to God, our Savior, who wills everyone to be saved. What's the object of life? It's Paul saying, it's to go to God, to heaven. Our world, our life, is you are called to a heavenly kingdom. You're called to be saved. Now, in this life, it's going to really be difficult at times because there's going to be all kinds of things that come in and tempt us. I was born in 1928, and I was born in my grandfather's house. You see, all of our life in this world is temporary. And so my parents lived in that house until I was seven. And they got married in March of 1927. I was born in June of 1928. My brother was born in December of 29. My sister was born in August of 33. And when she was two, we left my grandfather's house. We moved. Life is temporary. That house was wonderful. I have great memories of it. We moved to our own house on 113 Way Allen Street. I lived there until I went to the seminary when I was 17. That was my calling. My brother lived there until he got married, and he moved to Virginia with his wife. My sister Maureen lived there until she got married and moved and went with her husband. My sister Mayanne finished her life there, and she went to heaven. Her life in this world was over. My brother Joseph, he joined the army and was in Korea, and he left that house. Then he had his own journey. My parents then moved to California. They sold that house and, as they say in these days, downsized. My dad got a job on the docks in Bullock's store, and they had a nice little house there. And they lived there, and they came back and moved back to Pennsylvania when I come back from South America, until I left and went in 1984 to Lebanon, and they moved back to California, where they lived in a little housing area. Again, a temporary place, everything's temporary, in which my mother died, in Newbury Park. And my dad lived there until a year before he died. He stayed with my brother until he went to heaven. Everything is temporary. It's transitional, life in this world. And so Paul goes on to say, it is my wish then that in every place that men and women should pray, lifting up holy hands without ceasing, without anger, or without argument. Praise God. The temporality of life moves on. Okay, now what about you when you listen to that? Because Jesus is going to also give you a lesson that you may miss the point of. And I believe a lot of people will miss the point here. This is the gospel. It's a powerful gospel taken from Luke's gospel, and it's the 16th chapter. And let's begin with the first. It goes to the 11th verses. Jesus said to his disciples, a rich man had a steward who was reported to him for squandering his property. He summoned him and said, what is this I hear about you? Prepare a full account of your stewardship, because you can no longer be my steward. The steward said to himself, what should I do now that my master is taking the position away from me? I'm not strong enough to dig. I'm ashamed to beg. I know what I shall do. When I am removed from my stewardship, that they may receive me into their homes. He called in his master's debtor, one by one. To the first he said, how much do you owe my master? He replied, 100 measures of olive oil. He said to him, here is your promissory note. Sit down and quickly write 50. Then he called in another. You, how much do you owe my master? He said, 100 core of wheat. The steward said to him, here is your promissory note. Sit down and write 80. And the master complimented the dishonest steward. For the children of this world are more prudent in dealing with their own generation than are the children of light. But you have to be careful how you're going to interpret that. I tell you, make friends for yourself with dishonest wealth, and when it fails, you will be welcome into eternal dwellings. Where is this going to lead you, dishonest wealth? It's going to lead you to its eternal consequences, hell. The person who is trustworthy in very small matters is also trustworthy in great matters. And the person who is dishonest in very small matters is also dishonest in great matters. If, therefore, you are not trustworthy with dishonest wealth, who will trust you with true wealth? You see, the wealth that you're squandering is dishonest. How can you then be trusted with honest wealth? If you are not trustworthy with what belongs to another, who will give you what is yours? In other words, that that he gave away didn't belong to him. That which was his, he's not going to get. If you are not trustworthy with what belongs to another, who will give you what is yours? What is yours? Eternal life. Now, in order to attain it, no servant can serve two masters. He will either hate one and love the other, or he will be devoted to one and despise the other. You cannot serve both God and mammon, which is money. Now, you're 17. You're in Mass. You're listening to that. You've taken your pre-college tests. You're sitting there listening to this. What are you going to do with the gifts that God gave you? They belong to him. Have you consulted God as to which college you're going to go to? Have you asked God for guidance and direction as to what your future is going to be? If you're strong in math, if you're strong in languages, have you asked God, what am I going to do with these gifts? Whose are they? They're his. Is God part of your picture of discernment? Or are you sitting there thinking, they're mine, and I can do what I want with them? No, you can't. That's what this gospel is saying. If you don't ask God, then you are really dealing with this on your own. You're despising God. And that's really true. You might not realize it, but unless you bring God into the picture as to what your future is going to be, they call that a vocation. You have a calling from God. God knows your name. God gave you everything you have. And so what do you say to God? What do you want me to do with what you've given me? This is discernment. You go and maybe you decide, what I think I'm going to do is be a teacher. I'll get my master's in English. You're a young woman. This is what I think God wants me to do. That God's in the picture. You're 23. Should I go on and get my master's degree? Have you asked God? Are you despising God? Or are you just looking at the money? Or are you looking at the position? Or looking only at what you want to do? You can only serve God or mammon. What is your driving force here? You're 45. You have a couple of offers. This is going to take you to Illinois. You're going to have to leave your family for a while. What does God have to do with it? Ask him. How often we live our lives independent of God. And what God is saying here is, I want you to think about me. I want you to see that I am in charge of your life. See, you could be the pastor of the parish, and you could be conducting your parish, not really what does God want me to do. And that's true. The message for today could be very easily lost. Amos has some very strong words. If we don't do what God wants us to, I really believe so much in our lives and in our time is more driven by money. And this whole thing that Amos has is a very important teaching. He's a prophet. Actually, if you listen to both Amos and James and St. Luke especially, strong teaching against people who are wealthy and those who lick the boots of the wealthy. This Amos, he was a trimmer of sycamore trees. He was, to begin with, kind of a farmer, a tree trimmer. But he was a prophet. Hear this, you who trample upon the needy and who destroy the poor of the land. When will it come time for the new moon to be over, you ask, that we may sell our grain, and the Sabbath that we may display the wheat? We will diminish the effort. They cut down on the amount they give. They're cheating. That's how they make their money. We will diminish the ephah. Add to the shekel. So they'll increase the amount of what the shekel weighs. and fix our scales for cheating. They're cheats, they're liars, they're distortioners. We will buy the lowly for silver. And they really enslave people and the poor for a pair of sandals. How many times, you know, people can work in Catholic institutions underpaid with unjust wages? Even the refuse of the wheat we will sell. The Lord has sworn by the pride of Jacob, never will I forget a thing they have done. So that the consultation for a bishop is primarily, God, what do you want? The consultation for a pastor is, God, what do you want? For a father of a family, for a mother, for a teacher, for a student, for all of us, what do you want? And the power of today's teaching with regard to the gospel are in those last lines. No servant can serve two masters. He will either hate one and love the other, or be devoted to one and despise the other. To be devoted to God. God is powerful. God is the one who owns everything. We really have a distortion in our modern age. Avarice and greed have taken over. Our false advertising, the way everything is set up around us, we don't even realize that everything is temporary, that eventually this God who owns, and that's what that Jesus is telling us, he's the master who's given out these gifts. He's the master in charge. We are simply stewards of what he gave us. Now, if he gave them to us, my gifts are not for me to use as I want to. You see, if you're smart enough to make a million, you must be dumb enough to want it. What are you going to do with it? It belongs to him. All my gifts are his. If I'm making this for myself, my housing, my children, my family, you've got the whole thing all distorted. His children, his family, his world, his parish, his people. None of this belongs to us. Listen again to what the parable is saying, because it's so easy. I tell you, make friends for yourself with dishonest wealth, so that when it fails, you will be welcomed into eternal dwelling. The wealth that you misuse, that you don't use for God, is being misused because it's not yours. And then he goes on to say, the person who is trustworthy in very small matters is also trustworthy in great matters. When I use what I have for God, when I say at 17, God, I want you to be in charge of my life. You know, you might be sitting in the pew and God might be calling you to be a priest. He's in charge of your life. Why don't you simply ask him, what do you want of me? It's not just a vocation, it's not just to be a priest. He might want you to be an auto mechanic. But what is his desire for you? Your father might want you to go to Harvard, but you really feel called in deepest part of your heart to be a barber. It's what you experience and ask God about. Many a person has been trustworthy in this small matter. What's the small matter? The gifts that God gave you, which you say, use them as you want. Then, if therefore you are not trustworthy with dishonest wealth, who will trust you with true wealth? You see, if you don't use what you have, if I don't use what I have for God, God is the owner of all that I have. And it's true. You're not doing God a favor by telling God, I want to do what you want me to do. We have that wrong. That's not like super pious. It's the truth. All that I have, all that I am, I receive from him. My heart is beating. And so when we lived in 113 Way Allen Street, and my beloved sister draws her last breath and goes home to God, her life at 18. Yeah, very beautiful life. I still remember the Feast of St. Peter. What a wealth she has. And aware of what she had. I thank God for that memory. And when my beloved mother last night, I had a great dream about her. When she closed her eyes in death on that January 21st day, 1987, gone home, temporary, the place she lived in Newbury Park, gone home to God. That wasn't hers. That was his. And it was like a shrine. It was God's. And when my father went home to heaven, September the 11th, this giant, I believe, of holiness went home to God. All of this life is temporary. And then we have the beautiful success story of what Paul is talking about. What's life all about? We hear it from Paul. First of all, I ask that supplications, prayers, petitions, and thanksgiving be offered for everyone, for kings, for all kind of authorities, that we may lead a quiet and tranquil life in all devotion and dignity. This is good and pleasing to God, our Savior. And he will reward everyone who is coming to be saved. And young man, as you're thinking about what you're going to do, it's God that you first consult. As you're finishing your junior year this year, and you're going on to your senior year, as you're finishing your senior year this year, what's God calling me to do? Young lady, what's God calling you to do? Because everything you have and everything you are, as a 45-year-old father of a family, ask God to direct you and guide you and lead you. Everything you have as a married woman, everything belongs to him. What does he want you to do with it? He who made all the galaxies of the universe is the one who's in charge. He's the master of the household. And when you turn it over to him, then you have that life that Paul is talking about, of prayer and thanksgiving in tranquility and peace. Avarice has so confused our world. We are so driven by greed these days. Greedy pastors, greedy bishops, greedy people wanting to lay up and amass fortunes in this world, and to neglect many times of the poor. What a stupid thing it is to be in love with mammon more than God. This is a marvelous truth that I feel even as it's taught, it's a difficult reality to come to, because it's the truth. The truth is everything belongs to God, and what you have in truth needs to be turned back to him.
Monsignor, part of this process, as you've been speaking, is a discernment, isn't it? And I think you've said before, we know how to pray, but we haven't learned how to discern in that prayer.
Yes. And I think it's because we've been blinded to in the discernment to what God is saying here. If you love God, then you're going to be loving God and you're going to be putting your, but if you don't factor him in and listen to the word, you're hating him because you're taking what is not yours and misusing it in a dishonest way. And he said the children of this world are much more clever at that than the children of light. So even with regard to discernment, I think it's so important. We may not even realize, even as children of light, that we're not using properly the gifts we have. And that's why I think your work, Chris, is so important to help open the eyes so that we can discern what is God's will.
Final thoughts, Monsignor?
As we read these scriptures today and pray, let every person who is going to be at Mass and gathered around the Word as they prepare for the Eucharist will have their eyes opened as to what it is that God is calling them to do in their lives, that they will become more aware of the intensity and presence of God in all they do and all they say. Amen.
Amen. Thank you so much, Monsignor. You've been listening to Building a Kingdom of Love, Reflections with Monsignor John Esseff. To hear and or to download this conversation, along with hundreds of other spiritual formation programs, visit discerninghearts.com, or you can find it within the free Discerning Hearts app. This has been a production of Discerning Hearts. I'm your host, Chris McGregor. We hope that if this has been helpful for you, that you will first pray for our mission, which is to offer rock-solid and authentic spiritual formation freely to souls around the world. And if you feel us worthy, consider a charitable donation, which is fully tax-deductible, to help support our efforts. But most of all, we hope that you will tell a friend about discerninghearts.com and join us next time for Building a Kingdom of Love, Reflections with Monsignor John Esseff.